Today we're here with Ashley and Andy Vaughn, who are the owners of inarguably one of Huntsville's most popular houses of vinyl, Vertical House Records. Thanks for letting me hang out with you guys.
Thanks for coming.
And so this is a huge place. We got to start at the start. Where would you tell somebody who's brand new to Vertical House to start looking when they come in, when they want to look at records?
I usually ask them what they're looking for, and then I kind of give them a layout of the store. Just point them in the right direction, because some people don't really know exactly. I feel like every time you go into a record store, the layout's kind of different. So some people just come in and look through the new arrivals, or they are looking for something in particular. So.
And then you also have a little bit of something extra in the back. You want to talk about that, Ashley?
Oh, yeah. I think it started last year. I started selling some vintage clothes back there. A lot of my own personal stuff, and then things I found around town and everything. So just, you know, trying not to hoard so much anymore.
Let's go even further back. So let's talk about the name. How'd you get situated on Vertical House Records?
So that started when we had the idea to have it in our house originally. We live in a very tall house in Five Points, and the idea was we were going to live downstairs or upstairs and then have the store either the other place. And then, you know, once we finished the house, it was like, I don't know, I really like our house. But the idea was to have, because Andy was also doing graphic design and I do photography, so it was like graphic design, photography, record store, all under one roof, tall house, vertical house, everything under one roof. I started coming up to Crash Boom Bang up at the mill, and that's kind of when we discovered how they have places to rent and da-da-da, and then all of a sudden there was like a perfect little spot for rent, so we were like, well, why don't we just try this? I think we did some artist markets first.
Yeah.
And then we found the spot for rent, and it was like, let's make this Vertical House Records instead of in our house. So, best decision.
Yeah. That's at Low Mill Arts and Entertainment. That's, you mentioned that already. You said that there is sort of a huge evolution of 8 different places. Is that what you said, Ashley?
Yeah, we started in a little tiny, we can't remember if it was 100 or 200 square feet. And then we expanded that wall, so we got another space. And then we moved down the hall, and then we moved across the hall. This was all on the second floor. And then we got another space on that one. And then we moved down to the railroad room. That was when we were in number 3. And then 2 years ago, which is 4,000 square feet total, and then 3,000 of it is the store, and then 1,000 is my studio. But yeah, so I don't know how many. Maybe it's 8. I lost count.
Yeah, 6 or 7 or 8. Like, it's a bunch. But yeah, hopefully we don't have to move anymore.
And as you mentioned, you do have a studio here, a photography studio. We want to talk about that a little bit too, because that's cool that this is such a, you know, multi-use space that you were able to create here.
Yeah, I used to rent in the building on the first floor, Studio 110. It was a cute, tiny little studio. But I would often be doing my work over in the record store, sitting on the couch so I can listen to music, hang out with friends, da-da-da. And then when the opportunity came to get this space, we were excited because we could finally both be under one roof. But because all the moves that we've done in the building, we knew we wanted this space to be completely, like, we can transform the space however we would want. Nothing is super permanent here except for the 4 walls that we're contained in and the roof, which is fine. But we built out everything. We added the windows up top. We added the glass garage doors. We added the garage door in the back. Like, these were all things that we were like, okay, this is what we really want in this new space. And so we were able to completely customize it. We picked the lights out and everything. And so now I have a 1,000 square foot studio, which is probably 5 times of what I was before. And then this store is probably double, triple.
Yeah, we doubled it when we moved into this space, yeah, to 3,000 square feet.
But yeah, it was just nice because after years of being in separate parts of the building, having our studios or our spaces as separate parts in the building, to finally be able to come together under one roof. Because White Rabbit Studios very first started as a couch outside of the record store on the second floor. I just met with clients there, and then it was just like, I mean, it was all part of the vibe back then anyway. And then when they built out the first floor studios, I snagged that. And then we waited for this space, I don't know, 6, 7 years. We told Marcia we were interested in Railroad Room 9, and there was somebody, the original owner of the mill, or the previous owner of the mill, was renting it to store as storage. And then when he decided to move out, then they were able to start working on the space slowly, because everything had to be added, HVAC, electrical, like everything.
And so that's the roots of Vertical House. I want to hear your relationship with your customers? How does that changed over the years?
I guess it's the same as it has been. We just get more and more customers as time goes by. And I think this space here is a lot more visible at Low Mill. So a lot of people just kind of like pull up into the parking lot and then roam in here and they're like, what's this place? I'll check it out. And so we kind of gain customers that way. We try to be friends with everybody that comes in here as much as we can and make them feel like they belong here or that it's like their place too.
Pretty neat, because we've seen customers like when we opened who have grown up watching like kids grow up and then like watching their music taste change and evolve and stuff like that. And then, you know, it's just cool because we've had some of the same regulars, like guys that come in pretty much 3 times a week, like they're here every day. And then when we have new people come in or, oh, I've never seen this place. When did you guys open? We're like 2007. but yeah, it's always cool to have people who are like family to us and then people who are new and then who become family.
And how does it feel to you both when you introduce somebody to vinyl? Just, you know, like you said, you worked with kids, or not worked with kids, but you've had younger customers. How does it feel to sort of introduce them to this sort of medium of listening to music, a tangible sort of thing?
It's pretty awesome, I guess, to just be able to like someone to come in and get excited about buying something, and yeah, especially tangible media. And we, you know, we have CDs and stuff too, and we have pretty much every format, like cassette tapes, records, reel-to-reel, 8-tracks, Laserdisc. So we got a bunch of things, but yeah, like vinyl is definitely our number one like focus for the most part. But yeah, it's definitely exciting to see people like get into it. And then it's like kind of like an addiction that they have to feed to some extent. Like then they just kind of keep coming in, and you'll see them like, yeah, like she said, like every day of the week or like, you know, multiple times. There's some people that even come here like twice a day just to see like, oh, they bought some more stuff. Let me come back. And like, you know, I've got customers that text me like anything new. And I'm like, yeah, there's like 5 crates. And so they come back again. So it's pretty cool. I mean, I like it. I mean, I grew up, you know, buying records and CDs. And I remember when I first discovered it when I was like around 14 or so, like I was definitely hooked, like, ever since then. And I'm 40 now, so it's been a while.
So 14 was the age that you discovered vinyl?
Probably, sort of. Roughly, yeah. Like, I mean, I bought like, you know, the first thing, which is kind of embarrassing, but the first thing I bought, which was a cassette tape from like Camelot Music in the mall, was Tiffany. Okay. And then I bought a Michael Jackson tape. So those are like that's the first things I remember. I can't remember the first records off the top of my head, but like used to go to Sunburst Records on Jordan Lane. So like I'm no doubt that he sold me my first record. I just probably bought multiple things, so I don't remember exactly what it was, but yeah.
And Ashley?
The first record I bought was, I actually didn't even have a record player yet, but I was at Sloss Furnace Fest when it first happened, whatever year that was, and there were record vendors there at that time. I don't know if they did that this past one they did, but anyway, I bought Radiohead's Amnesiac, because I was, you know, they're one of my favorite bands, and I was just like, oh, this is really cool. Like, this is a lot different than the CD. It's like a 10-inch that, like, looks really impressive. So I bought that. But the very first media, I actually won a CD. I won Ace of Base, The Sign from ZYP. So that was my first like physical. And then I think I won again. I won a Boys to Men CD as well. So yeah.
Those are all good artists. I mean, I'm not knocking it, you know? So can you tell us about the sort of art that you see when you walk in? Because you see posters, you see paintings, you see all kinds of stuff. Like, what stands out to you most? What's your favorite thing for both of you? Andy?
I mean, a lot of the like art posters and stuff that we've collected is really just like stuff like shows we've been to or like bands that we like. Our friend drew some comic artwork for us above the door over there. I love that, obviously, but it's Vertical House related.
And you have Michael Jackson with E.T. right behind him.
Yeah, a lot of people ask me about that, and I'm like, have to tell them it came out of a record box set, and then that I don't really want to sell it. And then my dad gave me this PBR Next Time Bring Your Wife sign that apparently he's had since he was in college. So we've had that for a while. But, I mean, there's a lot of other stuff that we got to continue putting up on the wall.
My favorite thing is actually not on the wall yet. I like the posters. Like he said, it's kind of like a daily reminder of the shows we've gone to or the bands we love. When we used to have more shows, we would always have the band sign a record at the end of their set. And in the Railroad Room 3, we had it in the back wall, and it was just really cool to walk in and you just see all these like discs, the physical LPs, and then they're all signed. Of course, we use scratched records. We don't use like brand new records for any audiophiles listening. But that was always fun to like remember and to recount how many shows we've hosted and all that kind of stuff. And now some of the bands are like huge, and it's still exciting being like, oh, remember when they played our shop? Like, and we have their autograph, you know? And it just, I can't even remember the first one we did, but it was just kind of a fun, like, let's just get them to sign a record wall. And then it just transformed into this awesome thing. We hosted the 309 Punk Project recently, and we had them sign it. So they're the only ones on the wall technically right now because they did it recently. But the rest of them are secured in a box that we hope to hang up. But it's a lot of work to do that. Like, I remember when we did that record wall. Actually, when we took the record wall down in the old space, you could see where the sun had faded or the lights had faded. You know, it looked pretty cool. But yeah, it was quite the project. So yeah. We got to give ourselves like some days to do that.
I have to ask, what's it like to co-own the space, you know, rather than like, could you imagine doing this alone, either of you?
He handles like, I would say 90% of the day to day of the store. I'll help out on busy days or like when we have record store day and things like that. Just because my business has also grown, and so I don't have the time like I used to actually help more here, but Andy could do this in his sleep. Like, he's just so, it comes so naturally. It just comes so naturally to him, and he's just such a informative guy about music, and he just knows what he's talking about, and so he does just a phenomenal job. And so he does do it pretty much by himself, and he does an awesome job, but it is nice to have each other, like, because he'll help me in my business and then I'll help him over here when it gets to be a lot. But it's just nice to have someone that you can completely depend upon.
We definitely, like, if she needs help with something, I'll be like, oh yeah, and then vice versa. But I definitely wouldn't probably want to have like a bunch of business partners involved, because I'd like to do my own thing and, you know, not have to like run it by someone else. And like, we're pretty much on the same page like about our businesses, so that's always worked out good. And yeah, like if we do need help, we're in the same building, so I can just be like, hey, come help me.
So I wonder, growing up, who were artists you enjoyed listening to, like over and over, wearing out a tape or something?
For sure, Radiohead was like the first band that I remember like really connecting with. Like, I listened to music before then, of course, but that was probably the first band that I remember being like, I have to have everything they've ever done. Like, I can listen to you all the time and not get bored with it. And then I was involved with a lot of like booking of local bands and stuff, so you know, they were some of my favorites. And so it was just neat to be able to see music in front of me. I'm definitely enjoyed going and experiencing the concerts more so than just listening, although it, you know, it happened that I did listen to a lot of music. But yeah, I would say Radiohead was probably the first band that I really like connected with.
My parents always played music, like, you know, Beach Boys and the Beatles and Elvis and like Herman's Hermits, a lot of like the 60s stuff. So I remember listening to that. And then like when I would sleep at night as a kid, I remember my parents would leave the radio on and it'd be like whatever easy listening, like almost exactly. And like even some of the like yacht rocky kind of like stuff like that. So I always, and I didn't realize I actually liked that kind of music until a few years ago. We went to the beach and our friends were playing, and I was like, wow, this is what I listened to when I was like a kid growing up. But then yeah, like when I did discover Huntsville had a good music scene, like when I was, I don't know, 14, 15 or whatever years old, I got into like the whole like, you know, punk scene, and then finding Sunburst Records, like once I discovered I liked punk, I kind of went in that direction. And you know, I was like, all right, Green Day and like Rancid and like Operation Ivy and like all of these bands. And then it's just like domino effect of, you know, all the stuff. And I still like most of that stuff now for the most part.
Before we take a break, last question for this segment, what was in your car coming to work? What were you jamming out to?
Oh, that's funny, because we don't have a working CD player in our car. So we either listen to WLRH or 98.1, The Beat.
Yeah. Yeah. I think like, yeah, The Weeknd or something was on maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Or like Kanye West. But yeah, like when we go on road trips, we have to bring a little Bluetooth speaker so we can listen to stuff. But hopefully eventually we'll get a tape player or CD player or something going in there, because it kind of drives me crazy a little bit.
Yeah, but also when this is your livelihood, it's working at a record store, then you hear music all the time. Yeah. So sometimes just like, well, what is on the radio nowadays? Yeah. Like, what is popular, like, outside of my own realm? And so it's kind of neat. And it helps, it definitely helps to be able to stay in touch with what, you know, records to order and stuff like that. So, and then podcasts. We listen to a lot of podcasts when we are on road trips.
If you're just joining us, this is Arts Underground on location at Vertical House Records today with our series, Independent Grooves. We're getting to know the Tennessee Valley's local indie record stores and the folks who run them. This is Arts Underground, and we are continuing our series, Independent Grooves, getting the backstory on the indie record stores we love in the Tennessee Valley and the brilliant folks who keep the vinyl spinning on our turntables. So Ashley and Andy, I wonder, what is your selection process like when you get these records in regarding what you want to put in these bins for people to peruse?
Well, so it's a little bit of everything, really. It's, you know, new release-wise, like, I kind of just go through what's coming out and order based on what people ask me about or what I think will sell or what I like personally, which I definitely, every order, there's usually a record or five for ourselves. And then as far as like the older records that we buy from people, like I said, a little bit of everything, we just kind of go through them and base it on what we already have and what's popular. You know, a perfect buy would be like all the classic rock stuff and like jazz and blues and like just psychedelic and punk and garage. I mean, if I could find like 5,000 of those like all the time, that'd be like a really good purchase. But yeah, we stock just what our customers want, I think, and then more. You know, if it's something I've never seen and it's in good condition, I'll try to get it just to have it, because you never know what someone's looking for, even if I don't know what it is. You know, customers kind of dictate a little bit of that just based on what sells. But there's definitely stuff in here that's so obscure, that's probably, there's probably things that have been in here for, you know, maybe the whole time we've been open. But yeah,
sometimes like when he gets the orders in, like the catalogs will come in, and then it's just like, oh, should we order this, should we order that? And it's like, well, that's pretty popular on the radio, let's, you know, pick up some of those. But then when he's doing buys, as far as like with dealing with customers buying from, then he just pretty much handles that, because he knows, he sees more day to day, like what comes in and what goes out and everything. So he's really good about, he has like the inventory basically cataloged in his brain, because we'll have people come in and often ask like, oh, well, can you look up and see if you have a record? And Andy's like, sure, I'll know it if I've got it. So that's pretty, it's pretty interesting to watch. But, yeah, he does a really good job of like really connecting with what the customers want and bringing in what they're going to want to buy.
And that includes local musicians' music. You see like Them Damn Dogs, I see right over there. How would you say that the relationship between an independent artist and an independent record store is important to the community?
I think it's crucial. I think growing up, both of us growing up in the music scene, as far as like friends being in bands and booking and everything, just kind of showcase that, you know, like where are these, and this is obviously before the internet, it was like, where are these people going to sell their music? You know, what are they going to do? Because you know, you could buy it at the show, that's great. But then what if you couldn't come to the show? You know, how is someone going to get their music out? And so it was always just really cool to go into stores and see like my friends' bands, you know, there and everything. And so obviously when we opened our doors, that was like a big thing for us, is to have those connections with local bands. We started putting out Eargasms, which is a mixed, like a mix we've done. We're trying to do number 13. And so we've got like a compilation started that we're going to put out soon. But that's been something that's been real exciting. And we've seen like local bands that, you know, maybe they're no longer performing, but it's still pretty cool that they're on like this mixtape. And then that was really popular, and you can actually download those still on our website. And, it's just a neat way to connect with the local musicians still, in a way, even with everything we've all been through, and maybe there's not shows happening like there used to be. This still allows them to have a place to come and to have a place to sell their merch.
That is something I wanted to bring up, the COVID pandemic. How did you guys adjust to that sort of impact when it really hit last year?
Well, when we had to close the doors for, what was 3 months?
Yeah, I think it was.
We kind of tried to figure, well, like, people are still going to want music. And so we told people we could do deliveries. And so we had an amazing amount of support, and we were, you know, riding around town delivering records. One customer even made us brownies. It was so awesome. And so it was just really neat because the community really rallied, and then they still were wanting to get new music. And then once we were able to open our doors, you know, they had so much time to, like, clean out their collections that we were getting a bunch of really good buys coming in. So it was kind of like, it worked out, and, like, the community just was so incredibly supportive, and it was just amazing. Like, people bought gift certificates, people bought records, and we just, you know, we would walk around town and deliver what we could, or we would ride if they were, like, out in Madison or whatever. But it was just, and then of course we would ship if, like, we had people, friends from across the country who would, like, buy stuff. And the thing is, I don't think some people realize is, like, you can buy a record from any independent record store and they can mail it to you. Like, you don't have to get it off of, you know, some big company that shall not be named. You can go to any independent store and probably be like, hey, do you have this new album in? And they can be like, yeah, let me ship it up and package it for you. So we really felt that support when we had to, when our doors had to be closed. And then when we were able to open back up, it was neat being able to actually see people's faces and everything again was just really nice. But yeah, I mean, we rallied and we actually had our best year yet. So thank you, Huntsville.
It was sort of a fortified relationship between you and the people who, you know, buy from you and come see you, you know, every day, even before the pandemic. And you guys, you know, before the pandemic, you used to do a lot of cool events like, what was it, Living Room Vinyl? Or what was it called at Stovehouse?
Stovehouse, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We went over there and, like, they had a record player. So we would just, like, bring stuff and DJ in between, or, well, yeah, DJ, and then, you know, they have a bar and everything, yeah. And then we DJ'd for Christmas one time, and we just played a bunch of Christmas records, and it's always fun doing stuff over there when
we
can.
And then before our friends opened Fat Sammy's, they had pop-up shops that we would DJ those, and there was at Sugar Bell, Yellowhammer, there's a few places that, you know, we would pop up and DJ, and that was always really fun. Salty Nut, yep, and then, you know, we would host bands in the store. Oh, we'd have, like, chili cook-offs and stuff like that. I think that was one of the last events we actually were able to do before everything hit the fan. But we've already had people coming and asking, like, are you going to do a holiday party? Are you going to do a chili cook-off? So
I was about to ask, what do you have anything planned like this coming up?
Not at the moment. We're just trying to see, like, get, kind of put more feelers out there and see. And, you know, there's been other businesses in town that have, like, picked up the slack of having shows. Like, Gold Sprint now has a lot, and they're right down the road. And so it's nice to kind of be able to go to those shows. And then, you know, we still find ourselves helping with cleanup, but we're not solely responsible for that. We're here till 2 a.m. cleaning up. But, yeah, we'll see. We definitely miss the camaraderie of shows. We did have the 309 Punk Project here recently, and that was really great. And so we're definitely open to it. We just have to you know, you just have to make that commitment. Yeah, ease back into those commitments.
What does it mean to you to have an independent record store, successful independent record store here in Huntsville, which is one of the smartest cities in North America?
When I first met Andy, we were, you know, had these conversations like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And then, you know, he just said something one day, was like, well, I really think it would be cool to own a record store. And he at that time was doing design. And I was like, well, why don't you open a record store? And then it was like a light bulb went off his head. It's like, yeah, why don't I open a record store? So we, like I had said earlier, we were doing Crash Boom Bang here, and then the space presented itself and the opportunity presented itself. And then we just kind of let it happen. And we were like, let's see if Huntsville, you know, wants one. Cause Andy's had been going to Sunburst and grew up working in this type of world, but to be able to own it himself, I think is really good. And I think you can see that, like, when you come in here, you can see his passion for music, you can see his passion for the customers, you can see his passion for Huntsville. He was born here, like, he, you know, and we have friends that live all over. They're like, oh, you should move here. I don't know that we could do this anywhere we wanted to, you know, like, Huntsville's been really great to us, and it's been an amazing community, and we're just very fortunate to have such fantastic people to come in. And, you know, I think Andy does a fantastic job of welcoming everyone. So it works.
Andy?
I mean, I love what I do, and, you know, I've worked jobs that I didn't love. So, and I definitely enjoy being, you know, my own boss and being able to, like, do whatever we want with the place.
Earlier this year, The Killers came out with a new record, and Vertical House got a shout out with that. Mm-hmm. And I want to know, how did it feel when you first saw that?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, we definitely liked The Killers, and the new album is great. And we signed up for a promotional thing, like where you get, like, if you purchase it from us, you get a lyric book. But it is pretty cool when you, like, sign online to, like, social media, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, cool, I got tagged. And you're like, oh, wow, I got tagged by The Killers. Like, sweet. And they have, like, you know, 5 million followers. So it's pretty cool when you see that kind of thing, for sure.
Especially when it happens organically. You know, like, he's just doing his job on, like, posting, hey, we're gonna have this available, and then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, it's getting, like, more attention, versus like, oh, I'm paying someone to advertise me, and, you know, that kind of thing. So you always gotta love a little bit of organic promotion.
With Huntsville rapidly growing, where do you see you guys in 5 years? Do you feel like you'll be in the same space, or do you have aspirations to be maybe somewhere even bigger? Or
I don't look forward to moving again, if that ever were to happen, especially now we're probably over 25,000 records and all the stereo equipment and everything. We love Low Mill. It is definitely home away from home. We've had so many memories in this building. It would be very hard to leave here. If we won the lottery and could buy a building in Five Points, that was the ultimate dream once upon a time. But there's really just not very many spaces, because I don't think we could go smaller. Like, I mean, we could. I don't want to be, like, greedy about it. But we've gotten accustomed to this space, and it's just been so lovely that it would be, you know, it would need to be either on par or significantly worth the downsize.
Feel like we're still getting settled into this space, like, even though we've been here since 2019, you know, 2020 just, like, went by, and I don't even count that as a year.
Yeah. No one does.
Yeah, I feel like we're still, like, I'm still getting it the way we want it, and, like, arranging things, and then hopefully being able to, like, start doing more events, and then, like, bringing in more stuff, and kind of just curating it more to where it's exactly what we want. And I think we still have plenty of room to do that. Still looking for, you know, some more record shelves and stuff like that. Like, that's always a process. Like, we could probably use another 20 or so in the back section, and then we would just put everything on wheels. That way, if we had events, we could just, like, move it out of the way easily. But yeah, I feel like we're still getting settled in this space, and I don't really have any desire to move anytime soon. I'm pretty happy with where we're at.
And the most important question, so the holiday season is coming up. Can you talk about your mystery box of records? Because that's one of my favorite things that you guys do here. And I've done it for the last 2 years, I think. Yeah.
We were just talking about that on the way here, actually. Are we going to try to get them ready by Black Friday, Record Store Day, or just wait till the week after? So the mystery boxes, that kind of came as an idea of, hey, we have all these dollar records that are taking up space. When we have new arrivals coming in, what can we do? Let's just throw them in a box, wrap them with some cute wrapping paper, and see what happens. And they've been wildly successful. Like I turn into a little Christmas elf and cannot keep them wrapped. Like, I think the last 2 years we've had to tell people, we're on a 5-minute wait. Please come back. We'll save you this box, you know. And so it's just been real exciting to see that happen. I don't know if we'll have them, because Black Friday's already so much happening. So we'll probably do it, like, the following week or something. But yeah, when we pull out all those Christmas decorations and stuff, then you can start looking for them. But it's just a little fun way to get rid of inventory that might have just sat here otherwise. And then it's a cool thing for people to open on whenever they open it and see what all is inside, because sometimes we even forget what we put in.
Yeah, and I've had people, you know, customers tell us, like, oh, we, like, opened them on Christmas morning, and we, like, sat there and we listened to each of them. And I was like, I didn't even think about, like, that process being a possibility, but that's kind of cool.
You might have created a tradition here.
I don't think we can not do it now, because, like, I mean, almost every year we sell, like, over 50. Like, it's, you know, like, we save all the boxes that we get records in, and we just, like, fill them with stuff. But, I mean, I try to make it, like, you know, they're, what is it, 30 records for $10 or something like that. And I try to put some, like, good stuff in there, and then, like, just a variety. Like, there's not going to be, like, a whole box that's just, like, classic, all junk. But, I mean, we thought about, like, being like, oh, maybe we want to do, like, a whole Christmas box, but then it just made more sense kind of doing it randomly. And I think it's more fun that way. Mm-hmm. So you don't really have any idea what you're getting. But yeah, I feel like we're stuck doing it now.
Maybe you could do, like, a golden ticket box where it's just nothing but Christmas or something, like you said. Yeah.
Yeah, we actually meant to do it this summer. We were going to do little yacht rock boxes and put little sailboats on them and then turn this bench, like have like waves and everything. Big, grand ideas. And then it just didn't happen. So next year, look for the mystery yacht rock boxes.
Yes. Is there anything else that you'd like to add today, including any upcoming events or anything that you have going on that you'd like to talk about? Record Store Day was one thing that you talked about, Ashley.
Yes, we have Record Store Day coming up the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday, and we'll be open 12 to 6, and that's where a lot of limited releases are coming out, and it's been happening for I don't know how many years now, and so it's a real exciting time for people to come, and you know, people are visiting for the holidays and everything, so it's a chance for you know our friends and their families and everything to come, and we get to see them, and it's just a real exciting time. We're just going to kind of keep on keeping on and, you know, hopefully slowly start getting back into the event game and see what we can do there. So I guess potential upcoming events would either be a holiday party, and then we usually do our chili cook-off in January. But thank you so much. This was so fun.